The world will have a new trade block at midnight.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Chinese Commerce Ministry says it is strongly dissatisfied with yesterday's trade ruling. The U.S. International Trade Commission said Chinese companies that are subsidized have been dumping steel piping in this country, and the U.S. will impose new duties on those imports. While U.S. trade tensions simmer, China is welcoming a new free trade zone with the rest of Asia at midnight tonight. China is teaming with the ASEAN countries of Southeast Asia to form a trade bloc that will rival NAFTA or the European Union. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
In with the new, out with the tariffs. Duties on some 7,000 products traded between China and Southeast Asia are all going away on New Year's Day. Lots of those products are parts, if you think of the region as one big cross-border assembly line. Rodolfo Severino is with the Institute for Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore.
If Southeast Asian components get into China at less cost, and China assembles them, then the goods will become cheaper.
That's good for consumers. But furniture makers in Indonesia are asking to keep the tariffs. They fear competition from China will pummel them, especially as Beijing holds its currency artificially cheap. Malcolm Cook at the Lowy Institute in Sydney says many Southeast Asian countries have a trade deficit with China.
The growing strength of China and the shift in trade flows is without a doubt increasing some concerns about Chinese competition in the region.
The China-ASEAN trade deal still protects industries deemed sensitive, like Indonesian popcorn and toilet paper from China. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
China's Shanghai stock index ended an incredible 2009 today, up 80%. Asian markets were up almost 1% just today. It was a gangbusters year for the whole region except Japan. European stocks are mostly lower so far. Yesterday, the Dow ticked up 3 points to 10,548. Google is expected to unveil its new smartphone next week. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports on the buzz.
Several technology websites are speculating that the internet giant will unveil its own smartphone called the Nexus One on Tuesday. With features like a touchscreen, Wi-Fi web access, and apps galore, it'll be a direct competitor to Apple's iPhone. It'll reportedly come with a T-Mobile contract for $180, but for just over $500, there'll be a version that's not locked to T-Mobile's network or anyone else's. Kent German follows the cell phone industry at CNET.
$500 would certainly be a great price for this, to have a completely unlocked phone that you could take to any carrier you want.
Keep in mind, Apple's iPhone can only be used with AT&T, and like most phones, the cheap version comes with a long-term contract and penalties for early cancellation.
People are becoming a little more sophisticated. They're willing to pay more and say, well, I'm going to be able to take this phone and use it overseas if I like, or I'll be able to switch carriers at will if I move or if I just don't like the service I get.
In an email yesterday, Google refused to reveal any details about a press event it's scheduled for next Tuesday or its new smartphone. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
As the experts try to figure out why our financial system broke last year, many fingers are pointing to the 1999 repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. So what was Glass-Steagall? Why did we junk it? And can we ever go back? Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glass-Steagall. It takes you back to a simpler time.
Oh, yes, it really does. It was the Depression-era law that separated commercial banking from investment banking, from insurance companies. The image of the time was of a ship. So with a ship, you have the hold, and it has divisions. So if you get a leak in one part of the hold, you can shut off the rest of the ship. You can isolate it. And that was the image that regulators had at the time. We're going to have these different compartments. And if there's trouble with insurance companies, we'll deal with that. If there's trouble with investment banks, we'll deal with that. It was a much simpler time.
So if the ship was floating and the compartments were compartmentalized and all was well, why did we mess with that?
What happened with Glass-Steagall is that it was eroded over time because, well, now we live in this global economy. And there's all kinds of competition. Everything got mixed together. Financial institutions would go to Washington and say, you know, these regulations are preventing us from making profits. We're losing out to the Europeans. We're losing out to the Japanese. So over time, the divisions broke down.
So it sounds like you're kind of defending that action, that it wasn't just either idiotic or venal.
The 1999 Act that repealed Glass-Steagall was not idiotic, although there was an awful lot of lobbying money that was spent. I do have to say that. But it was acknowledging the world. Here's how I look at things today. Is there really a difference between AIG, the insurance company, Goldman Sachs, the investment bank, and Bank of America, the giant bank? I don't think so. That's the world we have to regulate. I love Glass-Steagall because it did work for a while. And you know what it does? It protects grandma's money. And that's a good thing. But I don't think it's the right regulation for a global economy.
So then how do we protect grandma's money today?
And this is where there's a lot of creative ideas out there. And the ones that I like essentially say there is no difference between an AIG, a Goldman Sachs, a Bank of America. They all need to be regulated the same. We need to create essentially a system where if they get into trouble, they automatically go into bankruptcy. Management is wiped out. Existing shareholders are wiped out. And we isolate the problem that way. But we need to regulate them all the same because the fact of the matter is, Bill, they're all in the same businesses these days.
Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell with that. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, you've heard all about the bonuses bankers are getting. Well, the top story in the sports world this week involves a bonus not being paid. Texas Tech head football coach Mike Leach was fired yesterday for allegedly shaming one of his players. It turns out Leach was also due to collect an $800,000 bonus today, December 31st. And some people are wondering if that helps explain why a school would fire its coach 2 days before a bowl game, the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio on Saturday. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.